Brothers and sisters, there were once two pirates, Jake and Samuel. Both were searching for buried treasure. Both had a map and a set of instructions on how to read the map. Well, actually, it was not so much a set of instructions, it was just one instruction. The instruction was this: put on this pair of glasses. For with each map came a set of glasses. Now Jake, he was an expert map reader. Before he became a pirate, he'd been a surveyor. He graduated at map reading in university. He knew everything there was to know about scales and angles, navigational markings, horizontal and vertical elevations. Jake was an expert map reader. And he had good eyes too. He didn't need glasses. He stubbornly refused to put the glasses on. In fact, he left port and sailed off into the sunset in pursuit of buried treasure, leaving the glasses behind. Who needs them, he boasted. Samuel, on the other hand, was not such an expert map reader. He'd been born a pirate, his father had been a pirate, and his grandfather had been a pirate. He'd never had much education, just really on-the-job training in the school of pirating. Map reading was not his speciality. In fact, he felt slightly jealous of Jake's knowledge. Samuel felt sure that Jake would find the treasure well before he did. But Samuel had weak eyes, and so he gladly followed the instruction that came with the map to put on this pair of glasses. And as he put them on, he realised that the glasses held the key to the map. They were special glasses that emphasised certain colours and features of the map, made things visible that were not otherwise apparent. So the location of the treasure became very clear. Without the glasses, the map was actually impossible to read and to understand properly. So Jake, for all his map reading skill, would never find that treasure. Only Samuel, with his special glasses, would ever find it. Well, where are we going with all this? The Bible is like a map for our lives. Anyone can read it. Anyone can become an expert in it in the academic or intellectual sense. But to see the treasure, you are going to need special glasses, the glasses of the Holy Spirit. You may be an expert in the Bible, an expert at reading the map, but without the Holy Spirit showing you the truth and the message of the Bible, you won't find the treasure. You won't understand or believe or trust what the Bible says. And that's the message we see in John 16, verses 12 through 15. Will you take that message to heart today? Before we look at these verses in detail, let me ask you some preliminary questions. As we go through this passage this evening, ask yourself these kinds of questions. Is this passage relevant to me? Do I find this interesting? Do I agree with this passage? Can I see how it applies to me? If this is all just a boring drag to you, if you're not interested in knowing the meaning of this passage and how it applies to you, then let me challenge you to get really worried, to become extremely concerned about your own spiritual welfare. You may have come to church this afternoon thinking that you are a Christian, but it may be that you're wrong. How you react to this passage will be a very good test of your own standing before God. In these words, Jesus is speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit. Verses 5 to 11 of this passage record what Jesus says about how the Spirit works in the world today. The Spirit works to convict the world of guilt with regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit uses the message of the gospel to convince people of their need for Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And we looked at that in depth in our evening service 2 weeks ago. But then the passage we look at tonight in verses 12 to 15, these are the verses we're focusing on today, tell us something of how the Spirit works in the church, how he works in the lives of believers, how he works in your life if you're a Christian. It doesn't deal with every aspect of the Spirit's work. That is indeed multifaceted. Other passages talk about the Spirit's work in moulding our character so that you increasingly show the fruit of the Spirit, or about his work as the giver of spiritual gifts to the church, or about his work in praying with us and for us, or about what he does in assuring us of our adoption into God's family. This passage doesn't deal with those things. Rather, it builds on what we looked at 2 weeks ago and focuses on the Spirit's role as the Spirit of truth who guides us into all the truth about Jesus Christ. If you've got the Bibles open in front of you, look at these verses again and see how they picture the Spirit's work as the teacher of truth. Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Notice how Jesus begins this section. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." You know, think of the setting in which this was said. Jesus and his disciples are gathered around the table at the Last Supper. He's clearly predicted his impending death. Sorrow has filled their hearts, says in verse 6. Jesus is speaking words of comfort and assurance as he prepares his disciples for the events that are about to unfold. And Jesus has many more things to say. The disciples have many more things to learn, but they can't learn these things now. They are emotionally distressed. More importantly, they are not spiritually ready. They've not yet been baptized with the Holy Spirit. In a very real sense, they are still Old Testament believers. Even tonight, as they gather round the table, they have shown how slow they are to understand Jesus' work. Soon they will desert Jesus and be scattered, and Jesus will have to face his accusers alone. Jesus knows it all. He knows how weak and frail they are. Yet he doesn't rebuke them. He only encourages them and seeks to strengthen them. And yet it is still the case that Jesus has much more to say and the disciples have much more to learn. The Spirit will fill this need. Verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Of all the words Jesus spoke that night as they were gathered around that table, the most surprising announcement of all was his assurance that although he was going away, another would come to take his place. See chapter 14, verse 16 and following, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," sometimes translated advocate or counselor, "to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." The Holy Spirit is another helper, or another counselor, says Jesus. "I have been your teacher, your helper, your counselor," says Jesus. "Now the Holy Spirit will take my place as your teacher, your counselor. And he will teach you the truth that you cannot bear right now." What will he teach? Well, look at John 14, 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will bring everything he has taught to his disciples back to their memory, and they will understand it. When you read the gospel accounts of Jesus' teaching, you can't help noticing something about the disciples. A lot of the time, they were very confused about Jesus' teaching. Time and time again, we read of how slow they were to understand, or how they completely misunderstood Jesus' teaching. They took his words too literally and missed the meaning. But when the Spirit comes, says Jesus, this will no longer be so. Look at verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. When the Spirit comes, the disciples will begin to understand the truth without confusion. When Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, many aspects of the truth clicked into place in the disciples' thinking. Jesus spent 40 days after this, after his resurrection, teaching the disciples. And Luke 24:45 records, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and their hearts burned within them as the scales of their hearts fell away and they began to see. When the disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that process of understanding gathered momentum. Jesus was teaching them as he had promised through the work of the Holy Spirit. So the apostles and their immediate associates were especially equipped to write the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James, Jude, and the author of Hebrews. God breathed out his word through them, and so God's word was completed, Old and New Testament. And so the first step in teaching truth was completed. But in the history of the church, the Spirit has taught the truth by a two-step process. The first step was to inspire the authors of the Bible, to breathe out God's word through them. The second step is to illustrate or illuminate the hearts and minds of believers so they can understand the Bible. The first step is finished. It's complete. You know, the canon of Scripture is closed. The second step goes on every day and will go on every day until Jesus returns. The Spirit of truth is active today, teaching the truth by enabling people to understand and to respond to God's word. We need to think very seriously about our own response to the Spirit's work in our lives. Think of it like this. The Holy Spirit has inspired the Scriptures in such a way that it is without error, completely authoritative and sufficient for all we need for faith and life. Here we have the truth. Here we have God's mind and will revealed. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or messenger of God as it's sometimes translated, may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has finished this first step. The Bible is complete. But you will never be able to profitably understand the Bible without the Spirit's help. Remember our two pirates, Jake and Samuel. Even though Jake is an expert map reader, he will never find the treasure unless he puts on the special glasses. There's nothing wrong with the map. His eyes are blinded to its meaning without help, without the glasses. And so we will never be able to profitably understand the Bible without the glasses of the Spirit. Paul teaches this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural person does not accept things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. People without the Spirit are described in Ephesians 4, verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. You see, there are two stages in the Spirit's work of revealing truth. The first stage is an objective setting down of the truth in the Bible. The second stage is enabling people to profitably understand the Bible. Now, I emphasise profitably understand because it is possible to have a good knowledge of the Bible and still gain no profit or advantage from such knowledge. There are two kinds of knowledge of the Bible: natural knowledge and profitable knowledge. What kind of knowledge do you have? Natural knowledge puffs you up with pride. You think you know it all and can't be taught any more. You can rattle it off chapter and verse. True knowledge, which is what the Spirit works in you, profits your soul and makes you hungry for more. You experience the power of the truth you learn, and you know that the truth is for you, and you want to know more. Natural knowledge is knowledge of words and sentences, a knowledge that informs the mind and the intellect, but goes no further. Truly profitable knowledge illuminates and transforms the mind. It leads to belief and humble trust. And that's why I asked you about your attitude to the truth at the start of the message this afternoon. Are you truly concerned to know God's truth and to apply it to your life? If you are not, then you have to be very concerned about your own standing with God. You've come this evening confident in your faith, confident you are a Christian. But do not become complacent or overconfident. If you think you are standing firm, watch out. What kind of knowledge do you have? Just natural knowledge from years of exposure to truth? Or profitable, Spirit-giving understanding and conviction? When it comes down to it, the difference between natural knowledge and profitable, Spirit-given knowledge revolves around your attitude to Jesus Christ. The main task and aim of the Holy Spirit is to teach concerning Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What kind of knowledge of Jesus Christ do you have? You might know all the facts. You might know that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, that he was sent for that very purpose, to die for the sins of the people. You might know that he rose again, that he ascended to the place of all power and authority, and that he will return one day as judge of all the universe. You might know these things, do you? But what is your attitude to these facts? Knowing this might simply be natural knowledge, simply learned at home or in catechism classes, or from sitting in church year after year. Has this knowledge transformed your mind? When you think about these facts of history, does it make you want to fall on your knees and praise God for his grace and mercy? Are these facts the foundation of your life? Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Saviour? And are you filled with thankfulness for his mercy for you? Are you humbled each day as you realise your continuing sin, and do you wonder and marvel afresh that God could love and choose a person like you? This is the kind of truth that the Holy Spirit guides you into, truth that glorifies Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. Here is the Holy Spirit's primary aim and purpose: to glorify Jesus Christ by teaching the truth about him. There are three very practical questions that naturally flow from this passage. Firstly, do you study the Bible regularly? Think of what the Bible is. It is everything we need to know of the mind and will of God, perfectly revealed. Everything we need to know of the mind and will of God, perfectly revealed. Jesus said that the Spirit of truth would lead you into all truth. And the first step in this work of the Spirit was to breathe out God's word. Do you study the Bible regularly? Perhaps you say, I'm not a reader. Or perhaps you say, well, after a hard day's work, I'm too tired to read the Bible. Perhaps you say, I've learnt the basics in catechism and at church, and I know that God loves me. I don't need to go into the fine details of the Bible. That's just for theologians and ministers to do. Do you know what you're doing with such excuses? You're insulting and provoking God. Imagine treating a letter from a wife or husband, boyfriend or girlfriend in a similar manner. Oh, I'm not a reader. I'm too tired. I know she loves me. I don't need to read about it. Yeah, she sent me a card 2 years ago. I've read most of that. I'm sure the sentiment hasn't changed. Imagine how the letter writer would feel. The Bible contains everything we need to know of the mind and will of God, perfectly revealed. God has given it to us to know and to study. To refuse or neglect to read and study the Bible regularly and seriously is high provocation of God. That is one reason our church places such emphasis on the weekly Bible studies and encourages maximum involvement by everyone. It really is essential that the regular study of God's word is not neglected. So if you're not currently part of a Bible study, I encourage you to join one. Secondly, when you study the Bible, do you ask the Holy Spirit to teach and instruct you? Only when the Spirit is illuminating your mind can you gain true knowledge of the mind and will of God from the Scriptures. Only if you are wearing the glasses of the Holy Spirit can you profitably understand what God is saying to you in the Bible. Prayer that the Holy Spirit would teach you to understand the Bible should not just come before a Bible study, but should be an important part of every day's prayer. Nothing pleases God more than a desire to know his mind and will so as to obey them. To undertake the interpretation of any part of Scripture without asking to be taught and instructed by the Holy Spirit is another high provocation of God. Thirdly, when you study the Bible, do you study it with a desire to obey the mind and will of God revealed there? Jesus said the Spirit will lead us into all truth, but not just truth for the brain, not just food for the intellect, but to feed your life and to change it. If you want to learn to drive a bus, pastime I can highly recommend, or build a house, or play the violin, you need to practice. You only learn properly by doing. A theoretical knowledge that's just in your head is of little value. You won't learn to play the violin by just reading the manual. So it is with truth. You only really learn it when you practice it, when you do it. To study the Bible purely for intellectual reasons is a high provocation of God. Jesus has promised that the Spirit will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit has taken Jesus' place. He is the other helper, the other counselor that Jesus promised. He will teach you. But learning truth is never a passive process. Do you want to know the truth? The truth about Jesus Christ that will set you free? Then seriously study God's word. Ask daily that the Holy Spirit would teach you the mind and will of God, and then go out and practice it. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your gift of your Holy Spirit who has been poured out on your people. We give you thanks that your Spirit continues to work in the world and you have not left us alone without a helper, a counsellor. We pray that through your Spirit's work you would continue to bring your word to life in our hearts and lives. Remind us to ask continually for the Spirit's illuminating power. Keep us diligent in the fervent study of your word, that we may know you better and seek to do your will faithfully, surrendering all areas of our lives to you in humble obedience. We pray for the softening of our hearts, that our study of the word would not just be a head knowledge or an academic exercise, but that it may truly be born out of a changed heart and renewed priorities. Use us. May your Spirit work mighty wonders through our testimony as we continue to proclaim your word and build your kingdom. Bless that word, we pray, to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.